Plus 49.
Good evening, everyone. I am Cira D'Arteaga and thrilled to have you with us for another episode. I hope your first Advent was filled with cozy vibes, Glühwein, and maybe even a warm fondue. Tonight, we got a fantastic lineup. Nikos from the website I Am Expat will join us. We'll also have a breakdown on the top news of this week, and of course, dive into our favorite segment, Ask a German. Let's start. We begin tonight with some news about Germany's future workforce and some significant updates that will impact us all. A recent Bertelsmann Stiftung study warns that without substantial immigration, Germany's labor market could face a 10% decline by 2040. To sustain economic stability and meet the demand for workers, the country will need at least 288,000 international workers annually, and potentially up to 368,000 under less favorable conditions. This challenge stems from Germany's demographic shifts, especially the retirement of the baby boomer generation. Migration expert Susanne Schulz emphasizes that while efforts to boost domestic labor participation are critical, they won't suffice the bridge gap. A more robust welcome culture in workplaces, communities, and public institutions is essential to attract and retain skilled international talent. Now, on to consumer updates for the new year. For January 2025, the minimum wage in Germany rises to €12.81 per hour, benefiting full-time workers and mini-jobbers alike. This increase raises the monthly mini-job limit to €556. For energy consumers, basically we all, there's a notable increase in electricity cost. Stromumlagen, or electricity surcharges, will climb by 1.3 cents per kilowatt per hour, adding around €40 annually to an average family's bill. The change aimed to distribute renewable energy costs more equitably across regions. And for public transport users, the Deutschland ticket prices arises from €49 to €58 per month. This ticket offers unlimited access to regional buses and trains, but excludes long-distance travels. While it's still a cost-effective option for frequent commuters, occasional users are encouraged to evaluate whether this subscription meets their needs. Finally, on the tech front, the EU is making strides towards sustainability. Starting in 2025, all smartphones, tablets, and small devices sold in the EU must adopt the USB-C charging standards, aiming to reduce the 11,000 tons of e-waste generated annually from incompatible chargers. We're in the middle of the festive season with Christmas decorations everywhere and the first doors of our Adventskalender already open. But before the Weihnachtsmann comes to town on December 24th, there's another cherished tradition that is happening this week, the Nikolaus. Nikolaus Day is celebrated every year on December 6th. On this very special day, children eagerly await the arrival of St. Nikolaus, who is known for its generosity and its kindness. Tradition says that on the night before, kids polish their boots and place them outside their doors. But have you ever wondered where this custom actually comes from? Similar to St. Martin's Tag, which got its name from St. Martin, Nicholas Day is based on the life of St. Nikolaus, a 4th century bishop from Myrna in what is now Turkey. Known for his generosity and compassion, St. Nikolaus became famous for performing miracles and helping those in need. For instance, One legend tells of three girls to whom St. Nicholas supposedly gave a sack full of gold as a dowry to save them from a life of servitude. He's also said to have saved a ship from sinking, which makes him the patron saint of sailors. Over the centuries, the stories of St. Nicholas spread throughout Europe, and he became the patron saint of children, sailors, and merchants. His feast day on December the 6th gradually evolved into a celebration that emphasizes giving and kindness, particularly towards children. In Germany and the Netherlands, the custom developed that St. Nicholas brings gifts to children during the night. This laid the groundwork into the 19th century for his transformation into the Weihnachtsmann or Santa Claus, derived from the Dutch Sinterklaas. And did you know that the actual creator of today's widely recognized image of Nicholas as a plump Santa Claus was cartoonist Thomas Nast? He emigrated from Landau in the Palatinate region to the US in 1846. Today, it is common that on the evening before December the 6th, the anniversary of St. Nicholas' death, a man with a white beard, often accompanied by Knecht Ruprecht, visits children to either reward or admonish them. The boots plates outside must be clean. Then, Nicholas fills them with sweets. However, there are still some differences even within Germany. For instance, in Alpine regions on Nicholas Day, masked figures known as Clausens roam about causing mischief. In southern Germany, especially in Bavaria, Nicholas has replaced Erasmus as the helper since medieval times, whereas in eastern Germany, Nicholas is revered as one of the most honored saints after Mary. So, as we near this special day, remember to polish your boots, hopefully you have some, and put them out on the 5th of December. Who knows what delightful surprises St. Nicholas might bring to you. Today on the show, we have a very special guest that I got the opportunity to meet with the fair they do here in Germany, here in Berlin specifically. His name is Nikos, and he is original from Greece, and he's the co-founder of I Am Expat. Welcome, Nikos.
Well, thank you for the introduction, Sigrid. Very nice to be here. I'm honored. Thank you. And looking forward to our nice little chat.
Let's talk about your travesty from going out of Greece, arriving in Amsterdam, and then making one of the biggest outlets for news for the foreign people, not only in Amsterdam, but also in Germany.
Yeah, wow. You know, it's been, I don't know if I did mention that, it's been 15 years. So we have our 15th year anniversary. So I know it makes me feel old. the story of I Am Expat, which is the majority of my journey also abroad, outside Greece, I'm originally from Greece, started 15 years ago when I, together with my friends and now business partners and co-founders, we were, you know, living in Amsterdam and experiencing the international life, enjoying it, but also living, you know, experiencing different challenges. So being very entrepreneurial minded, curious, and, you know, kind of very active, young and naive, we wanted to do something about it and improve the whole situation. I'm Expat, we'll talk about I'm Expat, the media company that we run. You know, we began with a website. It was a website providing information and services in English. Very simple, written, you know, understandable to all people out there from different backgrounds, languages, countries. And we were very active on social media, you know, understood organic traffic, all these things. And it just, you know, picked up really, really fast. We didn't expect that. It was just our side hustle, you know. So within a few months, you know, we dropped everything we were doing, all our jobs. We went all in and we, you know, we took it seriously to a different level because it was easier for us to grow what we were doing because the key persona, the key target group, it was us. So basically, it all started by what we wanted to know about expat life, what we were looking, what we were missing. And being in the expat bubble, in the expat community, we're getting so much input, so much feedback, so many, you know, questions from other internationals. So, you know, we had a lot of feed from the community, which helped us grow fast. And, you know, like, because I said we started 15 years ago, the online presence grew. Then we started doing, we were doing a lot of social events, networking events. Then we grew further. We were doing fairs in the Netherlands. And then we understood, okay, you know, what we do, you know, it has to do with expats, with internationals. The same international that decides to go to the Netherlands for a job opportunity or to study, the same person might choose to go to another country, such as Germany. So for us, we said, okay, you know, the target group, the user remains the same. Of course, the country, the complexities, the information change country over country. But we thought, you know, by using the same formula, we can do it in other countries. So back in 2019 is when we started imexpat.de. And then 2 years later, we started also in Switzerland, imexpat.ch.
And the expat life, it's a big thing because at the end of the day, it's not easy just to pack up your things and move to another country, a new country. Nikos, you talked about this expat life. And I believe that a couple of people that arrive in Germany sometimes believe that Germany is very hard, but maybe it is also the whole migration process or moving countries that it's complicated. What has been your insights from the community in Amsterdam or in the Netherlands about what they have encountered as cultural shocks or maybe even, you know, the difference between being in their home country and then arriving in a whole new place?
Yeah, first of all, it's very interesting to be involved with the expat community, international matters in those two countries, the Netherlands and Germany. Very much different, but also the same in some aspects. When it comes to the international community, I have to say that the Netherlands is a very mature country. They have cracked it somehow years back. And what actually they cracked it is like they understood the value of human capital and what these knowledge migrants can bring in into the economy, the society, the culture, and also the kind of reputation of the country. So these expats that had positive experience in the Netherlands, then they moved to other countries, other companies abroad, universities, you know, and, you know, back to their home countries, and they become ambassadors of this country. So I think for that it was easy, you know, they are a small country, they're very extroverts, so they speak a language that is not very widely known or spoken. So for them, it was very easy, you know, just to adjust and, you know, say, okay, you know, we're open-minded, extrovert, we need people, we will do what we can to make these people feel welcome. So overall, the experience from expats in the Netherlands can be considered positive. Of course, there are a lot of complaints, you know, like stories from expats that, you know, can complain about anything, which, I mean, there are, you know, valid stories and valid arguments, but all in all, the Netherlands have created the so-called expat ecosystem. Now, Germany is very interesting. The paradox about Germany is that it's the country with the most immigrants in Europe. So we're talking about millions of people that have migrated in Germany. One and two, Germany is, the crisis right now in Germany is that it's the lack of highly skilled people. At the same time, you would expect, okay, then, you know, let's go to Germany. It will be so easy, you know, we'll feel welcomed and, you know, there will be jobs for us there. So yeah, at the same time, you know, it's not so easy. Indeed, it's complicated. But since the years have been active and we have been learning more and more about the country, we've seen a lot of improvement, I have to say. So I will be very positive about that. I don't know if you expect to be, you know, more critical about the situation, but, you know, we feel we definitely made the right move as IMEXPA to be involved in international with internationals in Germany. We feel very proud of the fair we organized. Perhaps we'll talk about that later, because yeah, we received such an overwhelming reaction, because yes, you know, we have to acknowledge expats, internationals live among us. I don't live in Germany, but you know, I live among Germans in many different cities. So by accepting and acknowledging that community, it will just make life better for everyone. And I think that's kind of the role that IMEXPO tries to play here, like create awareness that, you know, there is this nice international community that wants to interact more, wants to learn the language, they want to be active citizens, they want to do more, you know, they want to start families, businesses. And, you know, they're not going to share the culture, you know, they're going to integrate and also elevate the culture.
I really hope at some point that someone from the German government is hearing this, because as you have already stated, it is a situation that we have in Germany where we need a little bit more of a Willkommenskultur, a little bit more of an open stage for internationals to arrive here. So it's going to be definitely very interesting how maybe the Germans can learn from the Netherlands. Let's see how about that. We're talking with Nikos from I Am Expat, and he pointed out something that is still in my mind regarding how the Netherlands is a little bit more open to another culture and how they decoded it very, very fast. How it was important to introduce the community, the international community, into their own community. And one of the key ingredients here, I believe, is that you say that they are extroverted, which, quite on the contrary, I don't believe that happens in Germany. So I want to ask you a couple of questions regarding the difference between Germany and Amsterdam, or Berlin and Amsterdam. How much does someone pay for rent in Amsterdam, for instance?
Ooh, that has changed a lot lately. So it's so I think I will a room. Let's start from a room. I think a room in Amsterdam. So Amsterdam is a small city. So Amsterdam has less than 1 million. That's, I think, about 800,000 residents, a little bit more. So the biggest problem of Amsterdam is housing. I know Berlin also struggles in that area as well, but it has been a key issue. So scarcity of housing and a lot of development, not a lot of development actually. They would like more development, but it's a lot of movement, a lot of investment. And, you know, also post-COVID has driven all the houses prices up. So definitely there's a housing crisis right now. That's what everybody's talking about in the Netherlands, but also in Amsterdam. So a room in Amsterdam can start from 800 euros, 900 euros. And then, you know, apartments of, let's say, 90 square meters can be, again, in a nice area in Amsterdam, can be more than 2,500 euros a month. Even more, you know, it depends on the state. So it is kind of a couples market. So if you're solo, it's impossible, you know, unless you earn a lot. But if you're a couple, you can make it, you know, find a place. If you share, yeah, it's definitely easier. But, you know, nowadays we also see a lot of, as a younger people, to decide to live a little bit outside Amsterdam. So there is a wider Amsterdam metropolitan area with more affordable housing. And the benefit, you know, Netherlands and Germany, there are, as if we talk about differences, the biggest difference is the commuting culture. So in the Netherlands, I will give you an example, which I can also relate it with I Am Expat as well. So let's say there is a cool festival in Amsterdam, okay? And let's say we want to write about it, we want to promote it, spread the word. We will spread the word everywhere in the Netherlands, because within 2 hours, actually within an hour, you can hop on a train and be in Amsterdam, enjoy that festival. Of course, that's not the case in Germany. It's a huge country. You know, what happens in Berlin doesn't really matter to someone living in Hamburg or in Munich. So,
and you have to travel with Deutsche Bahn. That is also a big thing here.
Similar issues in the Netherlands nowadays. But yeah, so yeah, that being said, I think, yeah, a lot of people decide to, which is also kind of contradictory, as an expat, you want to live in the city. You want to live, you want to be there. You know, you just moved the country, you want to be the epicenter of where things happen, the culture. So that's what has created a little bit of an issue with expats now, because they're also kind of forced to live outside, which is, you know, not ideal situation. It's not where the whole international environment is. So yeah, it's been a challenge. You know, you just, that's the most challenging issue right now. You know, it's harder, what we say, it's harder to find a dream house than a job, basically, in the Netherlands. Yeah.
That's actually very good, but you also have to have a roof on your head before getting a job. But maybe it is kind of like my context here is before 2010, everybody believed that Germany, and especially Berlin, was this place where you can find rents for cheap, which was actually happening. I mean, I came here in 2012 and I had so much opportunities around me, and I didn't have even to pay 1,000 euros, and I already had 140 square meters, which was great. Nowadays, I think it's kind of resonating with Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. And of course, people that are arriving here and say like, no, this is not happening. I thought that was very cheap, and I came outside of Paris or London or places that are not even possible to live anymore. And they come here and see that Berlin is more or less in the same situation as Amsterdam. Yet I go back to the same idea of friendliness. We know that Germans are not precisely very friendly or extroverted. So are people in the Netherlands a little bit more open?
In the cities, yes, I think on a sunny day, on a sunny day, everybody seems so happy and so approachable. You know, there are, you know, people are on the bikes, they smile with their kids. So, you know, the Netherlands is a completely different country when the weather is nice and people also are in a different mood. You know, the people in the Netherlands mind their own business, which is nice, but also come out also a little bit unfriendly sometimes. And they're very direct. So this also sometimes come out as impolite. You know, Dutch people like to say, you know, we're direct. Experts say, no, this is not directness, this is impoliteness. So there's this battle.
Well, we come from Latin places where we believe that this is rude.
Yeah, exactly.
And no, but what you're explaining to me is basically every other German here. Yeah. When the sun is out, everybody's happy.
Exactly, yeah. So what I have to say about the Netherlands, first of all, I'm a little bit biased. I have a very good personal experience. Have friends, partners, you know, like we have been in the expat bubble for so many years. So every Dutch company or every Dutch person who we interact with are international friendly. So it's a given that they're open. You know, my sample is a little bit, you know, biased. But what I have to say is that it's a country that you feel welcome, all in all. But a lot of people confuse that with that I land in a country and I expect to have many Dutch friends. No. So it's not an easy culture to get into. It's not an easy culture to really, you know. But it's not, as I said, Dutch people mind their own business. So it's difficult to be friends with them, but also they will not look down on you or frown upon you or even care about what languages you speak or where you're from or what color your skin is, you know.
Which, to be honest, it is kind of the same thing in Berlin. And one of the reasons why a lot of people come to Berlin is because it doesn't matter how you look. I mean, even in Berlin, it's like, yeah, dit is Berlin. Well, really, you get the weirdest people here. And I mean, if I was in Mexico, not in a million years would you get out of the house like looking like that. But here, it's just like, meh, doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But of course, we have been hearing, or one of the key questions is always about like, I don't know how to make friends. And sometimes it feels like this is something that is just happening in Germany, whereas it's probably not. I think that moving to another country, being an expat, international, migrant, how you want to put it yourself, it's kind of a complicated situation because everybody is looking their own thing and has been doing it for a long time. And then when you come in as a new person, it's kind of like, okay, nice to meet you, but I need to keep doing my thing. So it's not very easy to get friends.
Yeah, indeed. It's also, I think it could happen everywhere. Indeed. It's a common struggle that expats have everywhere they go. Of course, in some places like Mexico or in South of Europe, you know, weather does help. Why? Because you go out more. you know, people tend to interact more. It's not like you have to have this strict schedule that I'm off work, then, you know, I either go to my family or, you know, have this sports activity or, you know, it's like, so life in Germany, the Netherlands, and North Europe tends to be more structured, more organized. So doesn't leave a lot of room for spontaneity, for, you know, like for, yeah, for, you know, like arrange a spontaneous drink with a colleague, you know, after work. Doesn't come so easily to Dutch people, especially, you know, if you're, and I think that's mainly the reason.
I think we can agree on a lot of
thank
things.
Thank you so much.
Even if you're
for
a Greek
today
and I'm
with
a
us,
Mexican,
once again,
we are also the person that can knock on your door and say, hi, neighbor.
It's been a pleasure as well. And I'm looking forward to
and
doing this again.
Everybody was like, yeah, sure, come on in. Whereas you do that in Germany, they will probably call the police. I'm overdoing this. We're in our last segment with Nikos from I Am Expat. Nikos, tell us a little bit about I Am Expat Fair, that it's happening also next year, 2025, here in Germany, in Berlin specifically. How did we arrive from going from a portal of news to a community that went to this big event that, in comparison to what you have in Amsterdam, we're still small, but we're growing.
Yeah, it's a realization that now more than ever, people really want to interact with each other in real time. So it's something that people are still missing, especially talking about post-COVID. And, you know, platforms like I Am Expat is what make events like our fairs possible, because, you know, you use this platform with this wide reach. So, you know, this whole communication and marketing thing is getting simplified because you already reach people, and then, you know, organizing and promoting an event like our own fair becomes a little bit more simple. So you can, you know, bring people together easily. So as a concept, kind of works in the, you know, media sector we operate. Events are part of media, I believe. You know, events are fun and are tangible and are real. So I think people do appreciate this personal interaction. They appreciate coming to events and talking to people and get information on the spot. You know, it's so easy now to find knowledge information online, but so much more powerful when you hear the same thing you were reading on an online source. If you hear it also from a person, it becomes more valid, let's say, more like legit. So I think that's what people appreciate. Plus, you know, you get to meet people, you get to meet people that you have been reading about, or you're going to learn a lot by going to a fair like the one we organize. We're definitely love events. We're definitely, I think, it's the way to go also. As I said, knowledge information, the future will be so much accessible. So I think what more and more people will look for offline and, you know, in real time, in-person interaction more and more. So I think fairs are here to come, and, you know, maybe more fairs will come in the future.
We are all in the same boat. And I think this is part of also the idea behind a fair, that we can all meet and see, like, are you also struggling with this? And the other person goes like, oh, yes. And have you seen this? And you're like, yeah, okay, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy. I think a lot of people can resonate with feeling sometimes that you're just crazy.
Indeed.
Nikos, so much for this interview. We will definitely contact you back so we can do maybe a special for the I Am Expat Fair, so we can invite everybody from Jazz Radio that are listening to our show to go to the fair, because one of the greatest things about the fair at the moment is it's for free.
Yeah, and it will be free. It will be free next time for sure.
Nikos, thank you so much.
Thanks again. I appreciate the invitation. I enjoyed the conversation so much.
Plus 49. Ask a German.
Hi guys, I'm Eva, and I'd like to know why the shops in Germany are always closed on Sundays. And also, why do they close at 4 p.m. on Saturdays sometimes? It just seems to me like you didn't even want to sell your stuff.
I've actually wondered this myself before.
Particularly in Bavaria, all shops close at the latest by 8 p.m. and some even a bit earlier. And as you said, on weekends, many stores shut their doors as early as the late afternoon. But why is that? Don't they waste valuable sales time by limiting their hours? Well, the answer to this has a bit of everything. Basically, it lies in a combination of cultural norms, historical practices, and legal regulations. First and foremost, Germany has a strong tradition of valuing work-life balance. The concept of Feierabend, which translates to evening celebration, emphasizes the importance of finishing work on time to enjoy personal time with family and friends. This cultural attitude extends to shop owners and employees alike, who often prioritize their personal lives over extended working hours. As a result, many retailers choose to close their shops early to allow staff to return home and enjoy some time at home after a long day or week. Additionally, historical factors play a significant role in shaping store hours. After World War II, Germany underwent significant economic changes that influenced how businesses operated. Many small businesses emerged during this period, and these family-run shops often adopted shorter operating hours that aligned with traditional values. Over time, these practices became ingrained in the culture of retail, especially in regions like Bavaria, which is still very culture-orientated. Legal regulations also contribute to the limited shopping hours. In Germany, there are strict laws governing shop opening times, known as Ladenschlussgesetz or Store Closing Law. This includes, for instance, the so-called Sonntagsruhe, making Sundays an official resting day for over 100 years now. While these laws have been relaxed somewhat in recent years, allowing for longer hours on weekdays, the general trend still favors earlier closing times compared to other countries. For instance, while larger cities may have shops open until 10 p.m. or even later, smaller towns and rural areas often adhere more closely to traditional hours. Interesting is also that while some may view these early closing times as a disadvantage for retailers looking to maximize sales opportunities, many businesses have actually adapted successfully within this framework. They focus on providing exceptional customer service during operating hours and creating inviting atmospheres that encourage shoppers to linger longer. Additionally, by today, many retailers also offer online shopping options that cater to those who prefer convenience outside regular store hours. So, as you can see, a lot of factors play into the seemingly short opening hours, but the main focus is to let the workers have at least one free day per week where they can rest.
We have reached the end of today's show. My name is Sigrid Arteaga, and I hope you have enjoyed spending this time with us on Plus 49. Sunday marks the second advent of the season, and with it, it comes Sunday Christmas shopping, a perfect opportunity to pick up those last-minute gifts or just soak into the festive atmosphere. Speaking of gifts, don't forget to send your Christmas cards and parcels sooner rather than later to ensure that they arrive on time. So whether you're celebrating with family, enjoying the city's enchanting Christmas markets, or checking off your holiday to-do list, I wish you all a magical and productive weekend. Have a wonderful time and hasta la próxima.